Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
I wonder how you think of God. Some people imagine God to be kind of like a teacher. Others picture him to be more of a rich, powerful king. Some might think of God as like a police officer or a judge. But I tend to view God more like an artist, a certain kind of artist. And that is one of the ways the Bible pictures him, as an artist. I'll show you that in a little bit. And in my life, I've experienced God as an artist. Like, God has taken me, someone who didn't believe in him, and he's shaped and formed me into someone who does believe and helps others find faith. God took me, someone who never felt loved, and he shaped and formed me into someone who is loved and gets to share his love with others. God has taken what was broken and even ugly in my life, and he's put it back together, and he's made it into something whole and beautiful. And what God has done in my life, he will do in your life if. There is a big if, and that's what we're going to talk about today. How God can be an artist in your life and take what's broken and ugly and put it back together to make it whole and beautiful. If. So in this series, we've been looking at some of Jesus' teachings, some of these counterintuitive, seemingly paradoxical sayings of Jesus. And today, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where Jesus says this. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor, and some of you are like, yay, I win, because I'm broke. That's me, woo-hoo. But no, we hear Jesus say, blessed are the poor, and we think he must have misspoken, right? He must have meant, blessed are the rich, because we equate richness with blessing. In fact, if you ever get to know a really wealthy person and you compliment them on their house or on their car, they never say, thanks, I'm so rich. No, they always say, thanks, we're blessed. Right? So we equate rich with blessed, but Jesus is blessed are the poor. That word poor can translate as destitute or bankrupt. Now, Jesus is talking about more than just financial poverty. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. So he says, you're blessed if you are spiritually bankrupt. What does that mean? Why would that be blessed? Well, I think of some of the homeless people I've gotten to know over the years, and they are broke, right, financially. And because they're broke, because they realize they're broke, they ask for help. Right? They have no choice. They have to. And so they ask for help. And people who are poor in spirit, people who realize that they're broke spiritually, have no other choice but to ask for help. That they know that they are spiritually bankrupt. And it's when you reach that point that you can be blessed. That's the if. Right? If you realize you're spiritually poor, if you understand that you have nothing to offer God, if you see yourself as having no other choice but to cry out to God for help, then you'll be blessed. There's a pastor named Tim Keller, and he gives this definition of what Jesus meant by poor in spirit. It means seeing that you are deeply in debt before God, and you have no ability to even begin to redeem yourself. God's free generosity to you at infinite cost to him is your only hope. Problem is that seeing ourselves that way is really difficult for us. Keller explains, on the contrary, most of you believe that God owes you something, that he ought to answer your prayers and to bless you for the many good things you have done. We can say that you are middle class in spirit. You feel that you've earned a certain standing with God through your hard work. You also may believe that the success and the resources you have are primarily due to your own industry and energy. I think he's right. We tend to be middle class in spirit. We feel like we've worked hard, right? And in fact, most of the good things in your life are because of your hard work. And, well, it kind of seems like God owes you something for all of your hard work and your faithfulness. That's how many of us feel, and that is exactly what keeps us from experiencing God's blessing. We approach God as if we have something to offer, as if he's kind of lucky to have us, right? It's not, though, until we admit that we are spiritually poor that we can truly be blessed by God. Until you realize that you are spiritually bankrupt, you are going to try to fix yourself, right? You are going to try and make it on your own as best you can. And here we have Jesus saying, it is only when you realize the truth about yourself and your situation that you will cry out to him for help and open the doors to God's blessing. The problem is, we don't want to admit it. We don't, right? We don't want to think of ourselves as poor in spirit. We want to think of ourselves as strong in spirit. We try to create an image that will impress other people and maybe even impress God, right? I'm not needy. I don't need any help. I got this. And we can act that way if we want to, but that's not real. And that is not the path to blessing. God is an artist who loves to take broken people and put them back together and make them whole. But for that to happen, we have to admit we're broken. I've heard it said, and I agree, that the most broken people are those who don't think they're broken. The people who can't admit to themselves that they're broken, those are the most broken people. And we need to admit that we are broken. I love Brené Brown's books and her TED Talk on vulnerability. Her TED Talk has been watched over 35 million times, more than any other TED Talk ever. And I think it's popular because she talks about this need we have to admit that we are broken and how especially those who least realize their brokenness have this need. Brené Brown says that it's all of us. I love what she says. She says, we are those people. The truth is, we are the others. Most of us are one paycheck, one divorce, one drug-addicted kid, one mental health diagnosis, one serious illness, one sexual assault, one drinking binge, one night of unprotected sex, or one affair away from being those people, the ones we don't trust, the ones we pity, the ones we don't let our children play with, the ones bad things happen to, the ones we don't want living next door. She's right. We are those people. We are the people who think somehow God is a little more impressed with us. We are those people who will go into debt to keep up appearances. We are the people who yell at each other in the car on the way to church and then climb out of the car with smiles on our faces to show everybody that we're good. Right? We are those people who spend hours on social media trying to convince everyone that our lives are better than they really are. We're broken, but we try to ignore it, and we certainly don't let other people see it. We don't realize that the only solution for being broken is brokenness. It's admitting that we are spiritually bankrupt. It's acknowledging that we are not what we should be and not what we make ourselves out to be. That, Listen, that is the hope that Jesus holds out to us. Brokenness is the path to wholeness. Because when you finally reach that point where you can admit that you're broken, that you are poor in spirit, you reach the point where you will ask for help. And we have Jesus here saying, listen, if you want to be blessed, you have got to be poor in spirit. You've got to recognize your spiritual poverty and say, God, I need help. And it's at that point that we are inviting God's blessing into our lives. It's when we finally say, God, I can't do it. I can't mend my marriage. I can't fix my kids. I can't stay sober. I can't control my temper. I can't restrain my lust. I can't be kind. I can't put the broken pieces back together. I can't save myself. I can't do it. God, I need help. That's when you're in position to receive God's blessing. But man, that is so difficult for us, right, in our culture. I read about this survey. They asked tons of people, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? One of the top answers given tons of times was, God helps those who help themselves, which is a really good one. It's just not in the Bible. In fact, not only is it not in the Bible, you realize that is the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Right? The Bible says not God helps those who help themselves. The Bible says God helps those who can't help themselves. Who realize I can't help myself, who are willing to ask God for help. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And if you study the life of Jesus, you will see this is who got blessed. It is. So like there's this woman who cannot stop her body from bleeding. And she has gone to all kinds of doctors and none of them have been able to help. And she is totally desperate. And so she goes to Jesus and she reaches out to him for help. And she is blessed. There's the centurion. He was a Roman soldier who was supposed to be strong, but he had this servant who he cared about, and he was sick, and he couldn't do anything for him, and he didn't know what else to do. And so in desperation, he goes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus for help. He says, Jesus, I know I don't deserve for you to even enter into my house, but I've come to you. Can you do something? And he's blessed. There's this Canaanite woman. She was considered an outsider. And she had a daughter who was sick and she was maybe going to die, but no one would help her because she was looked down on by everybody. And so just in absolute desperation, she goes to Jesus and she cries to him for help. And she's blessed. She's blessed. We see it all through Jesus' ministry, and we will see it in our lives if we realize that we are spiritually bankrupt and we finally reach a desperate place where we cry out for help. If we do, when we do, we will be blessed. It turns out that brokenness is the path to wholeness. God loves it. God is an artist who loves to take broken pieces and make them whole. Take what's broken and make it beautiful. There's a book called Lord, Break Me. And the author, William MacDonald, he talks about how in our world, in the physical world, broken things lose value, right? Like old dishes, old furniture, you throw them away. Flaws are fatal. But he writes, in the spiritual world, it's actually the exact opposite. Broken things in the spiritual world, in God's world, are precious. Broken things, broken people, reveal the power of God. Flaws are not fatal. Flaws are openings for God's blessing. There's this story in the Old Testament, the Bible. The Old Testament is the part before Jesus came, where this guy named Jeremiah gets sent to a potter's house. And he walks in and he sees this potter working on pottery, on like a jar on the wheel. I got to be honest, I'm a little nervous about telling you guys this story because I know that probably right now you're picturing me in that scene from Ghost with, I've got no shirt on right now. I don't want to cause anyone to lust, okay? I apologize for that, but I'm going to tell the story anyway, okay? So just contain yourselves. So the potter is mixing together this jar. There's water and there's clay, and this jar is emerging, but the potter's fingers fail him, and all of a sudden he's holding a flawed jar, a jar that no one would want, no one would buy. But as Jeremiah watches, the man pushes all the clay back together and he begins molding it again. And this beautiful jar emerges. And then Jeremiah receives this message from God as he's watching. God says, "Can I not do with you as this potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand." It's this amazing image of God sitting at the wheel, looking at broken pottery and making it into something beautiful. We just need to admit that we are poor in spirit. We need to show God our brokenness. But because God looks at our brokenness like an artist. Have you guys heard of Kintsugi? Kintsugi? It is a ceramic restoration process developed in Japan in the 1500s. So broken ceramic pieces are sealed back together. But instead of hiding the cracks, as you might suspect, the cracks are boldly highlighted and traced with gold. Here's a few examples. So it's interesting. Normally, anything broken and refurbished sells at a discount, right? But not Kintsugi pottery. Typically, these ceramic pieces turned out to be more beautiful than they were and far more valuable than before they were broken. In fact, many collectors have been accused of deliberately breaking prized ceramic pieces so an artist can put those broken pieces back together and make it more beautiful and far more valuable. Man, that sounds a lot like God. God is an artist who loves to take what is broken and maybe even ugly in our lives and put it back together, making us into something whole and beautiful. There's a great illustration of this on YouTube. It's a documentary about this poor community in Paraguay, these people live in a landfill. They live in a garbage dump. There's more than 100 residents who eke out a living by combing through all the trash and looking for something that can be recycled and sold. You watch a video, it's like, oh, it's hopeless. But if you keep watching the video, you learn that this community in Paraguay is known for something other than just living in a landfill. This community is known for, wait for it, an amazing orchestra. Orchestra, not a nearby big city philharmonic who come to do performances for the people who live there. No, this orchestra is made up of the children who live right there in the landfill. How did that happen? There's a guy named Fabio Chavez. He's a professional musician, and he happened to come to this landfill and see these people who live in this garbage dump. And he was horrified by their living conditions, and no one's doing anything about it. And so he thought, well, there's something I can do. And so he announced that he was going to start a music school for the kids who live there. Very quickly, he was surrounded by very eager and willing children. One problem, they had no instruments. Chavez had an idea. He had met a garbage picker named Nicholas Gomez, and he asked him to start looking for a very specific kind of garbage. He said, "Find me anything that we might be able to recycle into an instrument." And he did. And pretty soon they had made a cello from an oil can and old cooking tools, a drum set with old x-rays as the skins of the drums, a flute from tiny little cans, a violin from a beat up old aluminum salad bowl, and the strings tuned by actual forks. You know, it's funny, if we had visited that landfill, we would have seen what was, and we would have been sad. But Chavez was an artist, and so he saw not what was, but what could be. And he put together what is now known as, I love this, the landfill harmonic. It's an orchestra made of kids from a junkyard playing instruments made out of garbage. Fabio Chavez took something that was broken and ugly, and he put it back together and he made it beautiful. Just like God wants to do with us. That is what God wants to do in our lives. That is what Jesus did in so many lives, and he will do it in yours. If you can admit you're broken, and if you'll ask for help. When we do, we discover blessed are the poor in spirit. God can take our pieces and put them back together, and he can make us whole. And he can take even the ugly things from our lives and make them beautiful.